Hello and welcome to the Wedding Chit Chat Podcast. If you're planning your wedding and feeling overwhelmed, grab a drink and keep listening. We'll be sharing all you need to know to give you the confidence to seamlessly plan your own wedding.
Hello, welcome to the Wedding Chit Chat Podcast. You are here with Natalie.
And Lauren.
So nice to be back, guys. For this episode, we are talking about destination weddings. And we are covering things like a weekend wedding.
Yep. Making a whole weekend out of
the whole shebang.
Yeah. Also, if you're going to be traveling, what does it mean? So, like, legalities. Did you want to do them here? Did you want to do them there? What that entails.
Cool. To help you guys out.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So, this topic is, like, mostly knowledge that you can share because being a celebrant,
no pressure.
I feel like you know the legalities and what people need for a destination wedding. So,
certainly in Australia.
Yeah.
And then I know a bit about the overseas stuff, but I can only really speak on, I'll give you my opinion on a few things as well. But destination weddings.
So, where do people start?
Yeah. Like, they're becoming more and more popular.
Like ceremonies.
Yep. So, anytime someone's doing an overseas wedding, I always give just have the consideration of maybe doing the legal stuff here and then doing all the other stuff over there. It's just easier. It simplifies things. The marriage is then registered here in Australia. If you get married overseas, you can't register it here. What it means is it's recognized here.
Gotcha. Okay.
If
that's
it's
why
done
I get
right.
Some couples that already say we're married and we're just doing the ceremony just for like show type of thing. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. So there's certain things.
So you can do the same thing here.
Yeah. And I have had a couple come to me recently and they're like, oh, we just need you to submit the paperwork for us because we got married over in another country.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, cool. So did you get legally married? Like, or was it through like a religious ceremony? And they're like, oh, I don't know.
So
I had to do some investigating. I went through who they booked and then I just needed to get confirmation just to
that
see.
They're actually married?
Turns out they're not. So we're just going to do like a legals only ceremony, get two witnesses. And I think I've spoken about that a little bit.
But
Legals only ceremony is like a 5-minute bit, paperwork, exchange legal vows.
I think you said it was like 70 words that need to be said.
Yeah, I can't remember. I haven't done the count. Some people know the count.
No, I feel like you told me the count. Maybe you counted it a year ago or something.
I know the word, but I don't know. Yeah, maybe it was me a year ago. Yeah. So, there's that. There is still the 1 month lodgement. So you need to lodge a notice of intended marriage.
Yeah.
But so many of my couples are doing legals here and then they're jetting off. So, right before, and sometimes it's a significant date, sometimes it's not, like they're counting their overseas wedding as the thing.
When they legally get married, they're not counting that day as their wedding day.
As their anniversary.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Have two anniversaries.
Yeah, that's it. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Two presents.
Yeah.
Go out twice.
But the thing is, like, it's if you're going to do overseas, just check, because I know there's certain places in Europe, like celebrants don't, like you have to be in a church.
Yes.
To be recognised. And I think over in, I want to say, don't 100% me, but like in Bali, again, it's the same kind of thing and you have to adhere to certain things, like processes and things that maybe don't align with your beliefs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just.
Oh, so like even sometimes when you see like weddings that are taking place and you think, oh, like I'll go to that country and like I can have that sort of wedding.
Yep.
That may not be the legal wedding that they had.
100%.
So, yeah. I didn't think about that. Yep. So, like, the beautiful photos and stuff might not actually be
in
the legal
suits
one.
And fancy attire and everything, flowers, rings are exchanged, all the rest of it. Great. And it is wonderful experience. Yeah. But if you want it recognized and or you want to just have it registered here because, anyway, it can be simplified if you do it here.
Okay.
So.
Oh, nice. Good to know.
Just know to ask.
So you recommend do the paperwork here, the legal stuff.
Yeah.
Get married.
If it was me, I would do that for peace of mind.
Yeah. And then go and like do the traveling.
Yep.
Do the wedding.
I still really love the idea of an overseas wedding. Like, so for me, Las Vegas is calling our name.
Yeah.
So me and Scotty got married in 2012 and we would love to do a vow renewal in some like real cheesy, like tacky Elvis kind of.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
how many years has it been since?
So 2012. So it's been.
Okay. So 12
we've already passed 10 years because that happened during COVID.
So it's 12 or 13.
So now we're coming up to 13.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So maybe like the 15th or?
Yeah, or just because. Or just I don't think it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because it's in November, and November in Vegas isn't great.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, there's that.
Just whenever.
Yeah.
Make
so,
a new anniversary.
Yeah, and then around, so that's around destination.
Yeah.
I think it's also really important to go off others. Like there's some companies out there that can do it really well.
Yeah.
And also for any couples that might be looking, they might, I don't know if we have overseas listeners.
actually, no, seriously, in the US,
yeah.
I've seen people listening from there.
Hey.
And I think like in India, there were some people there.
Yep.
So yeah, we're all over.
Yeah. So, okay, well, let's talk on to those couples as well. So if you do want to get married here, I mean, it can happen by correspondence.
Yeah.
But there are some things that need to happen. So like lodging a notice of intended marriage is still required.
Do you just do that through Zoom and
no,
stuff?
No, we could do
what's the stuff you can do through Zoom if you're not like face-to-face? You have to get it signed by a JP or something, I've heard.
Yes.
So you can do it, but like
– yeah.
Just different ways it has to be done.
Yeah, it depends on the country as to who their authorized person is.
Yeah.
But we can help, like, point them in the right direction.
Yeah.
So the other thing I've done is people have come over and then we've done a notice and they've gone back and then they've come over again.
Okay.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's not in everyone's budget.
Yeah.
So I can just say who your authorized person is in your country and go to them, get them to witness it, send it to me, and then we'll do the remaining paperwork.
Great.
Once you're here.
Yeah.
But there's, For other, it's the same kind of thing, having a planner or a coordinator for those, for the people coming.
Yeah.
And so I think you touched on it for the intro, but we've seen an increase in those weekends.
Yes, weekend weddings.
Yeah.
Where people want to, I've even seen a lot more people who are coming from interstate.
Yes.
And just want to make a holiday of coming to New South Wales, for example.
Yep.
I've got people from Queensland and Melbourne doing this.
Yep.
And even Perth, actually, I just got another couple from Perth coming and they just want to make a whole weekend of coming to Sydney and spending time here and getting married and having like a weekender, or like a week holiday and including their wedding in it. So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I've got heaps of like Sydney metro kind of based couples that are doing South Coast or out this way, Orange, Hunter, and they'll book on-site accommodation for all the nearest and dearest. And it's just, it's because the biggest advice I give to anyone getting married on their wedding day, like a typical, is the time. It just flies by.
Yeah.
So if you can schedule like the night before dinner or
the recovery brunch after, you still get to see your guests and you still don't feel like it's all over.
Yeah.
Because you know when people talk about the high is now like, what do they say? What do they call it? After the wedding, there's like the bride normally feels really, you feel it like, it's all
energy
finished
shift,
and like, and like they plan it for so long and then it just feels like it's all done and like
you put
so
now?
Much, you put so much of your time into it and it's like, what do we plan now? What do we do? But I think having the recovery brunch and like the little bits and pieces just softens that
it's a real opportunity for meaningful connection as well because at weddings it's hard to have like the dance floor's cranking you're not going to have those meaningful conversations with
and if you go and sit down with someone for too long you've sort of like wasted your time where you could have done other things and like dancing
and what a time to reflect that next day you might be a bit seedy but just have a sleep in. That's why we call it brunch. Could be lunch.
Sometimes people think, oh, let's just start the ceremony earlier so we have more time with guests. But on the wedding day, honestly, if you drag out the wedding, it also kills the vibe.
Yeah.
So you don't want to drag out the number of hours the wedding goes for because the mood shifts as well then. And it's like people want to leave early.
It all depends. So like I love an early wedding, but you've got to keep in mind it does change things.
Like people don't want to be there for more than like 8 hours.
And how many people are getting ready? And what time are you going to have to wake up?
Yeah.
And what's the travel for everyone? Because if people are traveling and then they're still required to start at 11, It works for some. It works really well for some.
Sometimes,
Yeah.
But it's always good to just think about like, oh, we could do like a dinner the night before. Or like in America it's big. They have like the rehearsal dinner.
Yes.
I have seen that come here a bit. Sometimes I have couples who
I don't
if
like
they're
the name.
Staying. Yeah. Like you don't want to rehearse
I like
it.
The concept. Of getting together before.
Do you like when people do a ceremony rehearsal the day before?
Okay, I've got I don't like it. I don't like thinking of it as a production, and I don't like things to be overproduced about, like worrying about how you're holding the ring or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do think it's good for the, like, if you've got a wedding party, if you've got groomsmen or bridesmaids walking down and they just want to get the timing right or know where to stand, that's cool.
I feel like, but not the day before, though. I feel like do that a month or two before. So it's not like, oh, yeah, and tomorrow we'll do this. And tomorrow, and it's like, well, then it does become a production, I feel like. They're, like, ready for a play.
Yeah, I'm so on the fence on this, but I will, I'm going to lean to no. I hate,
I strongly dislike.
Yeah. If you've got real, like, because there's people that have real anxiety, there's ways that you can overcome that. And one of those is like a bit of a practice run and stuff. So but nah.
Yeah. I just don't like, I've seen it where they're like to the second in the song, or this is when you're going to walk. And it's like, yes, but on the day, the emotions sometimes get in the way. And it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know,
like, not the moment you're
I will be there to tell them when to walk.
Yep.
Like, don't worry. It's, and if you have a planner or coordinator, these are sort of things that you can go, like, you can't go through these things beforehand.
Yes.
But the day before is not a time to be really rehearsing anything.
I've been on the other end.
It's time to have a champagne and just
a pretty chill. Poor rehearsal as well.
Yeah.
It was, I was a bridesmaid.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I love the experience. Mm. It was, I will never be a bridesmaid again. I'll just say
that. I love it.
So, not for me. Yes. Not now. But yeah, no, it was so regimented, and it wasn't from the, even from the bride so much, but like who was officiating and we were just very different people as, and this was before I was a celebrant.
Wow. Yeah.
But that it was about, no, you stand here and everyone quiet, come on, we've got it. And I'm like, mate, we're here for a good time. Can we just?
Yeah, we're here for a good time. I came for the long.
Oh, and then like, yeah, and that's why it was like, you have to hold the ring this way. So like, so the fingers are underneath. So it can, and I'm like, fucking stop it.
Stop. Oh,
so, I use that experience to try and give an example. Yeah,
but it's true.
Yeah, to not do that.
And then I don't feel like the emotion can come out.
Yeah.
Because
you're overthinking.
Day. Yes. I feel like that sort of ruins the, like, even first look sometimes. If it's too planned, it just doesn't happen. You don't get that emotion.
Yeah.
And it's just not.
You don't need to overproduce it either, because it is a day filled with emotion. Yeah. You know,
that's right. Things will happen organically. Out naturally. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
Don't want those awkward moments, like, because you've
I don't mind some awkward moments. I do, like, you know, there's a little bit of a fumble here, like, it can be cute.
Yeah, I
see what you're saying. Not those ones.
No, not those ones. So we love a good dinner the night before is great, with like the bridal party, like a chilled dinner from like a barbecue or like something at the accommodation that you're staying at. Try not to like go out. I think like you don't want to end up going out and getting drunk
don't
or anything.
Yourself.
Yeah. Just do something chilled and relaxed.
Yep.
But also don't DIY that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like prepare things, but don't, like, get it delivered, or like get most of it delivered where you're just literally cooking a barbecue or like something.
Or honestly, pizzas or something.
Yeah, pizza.
Something that's not going to upset your tummy.
Yeah. Something quick and easy. That's it.
I do have another example too. So this is a family, they're getting married shortly actually down in the South Coast, and her brother is officiating, but he's not a registered celebrant. And so there was going to be another, anyway, their original plans fell through, so they contacted me, and and they weren't really particular on the date. They're like, oh, well, we can just get legally married whenever, and then we'll get my brother to officiate. And I was like, yeah, cool. And basically, as to when it was all happening, and because everyone's going to be there, I said, well, what about the rehearsal dinner?
Yeah.
Like, because everyone's, we'll just do it around the table before dinner.
And
oh, yeah, that's cool. Because then we can have the witnesses that we wanted. But it's so low key. They're like, we don't want it to be the, like take anything
the
away from.
Like, it's huge. Yeah.
Like, oh, no, that's cool. We can just literally do what we need to do. Bare minimum, legals.
Yeah.
Pop a bottle. And then
have dinner.
Yeah. And whilst you're all feasting, I'll sip on my champagne and then I'll head out. Yeah.
Love that. So there's different ways that people can do it.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I love that. And then also, like, with the brunches the next day, that gives people more time to, like, chat about how great the wedding was
yeah,
the
night you before, hope.
You know? Hey?
Yeah.
Like, and then you see who woke up really, like, hungover.
Yeah.
And, yeah, who had the best time.
Maybe.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you hear random stories about that too.
I do. I love those stories.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so that's pretty much like making a weekend of your wedding.
Yes.
Making the most out of it. Because if you're going to go stay somewhere anyways and like travel, say like the Hunter Valley or down the coast or somewhere, it's nice to get people are traveling anyways.
Yeah.
They're going to book accommodation. So you might as well organize these little things where they can meet up with you again.
Yeah.
But if you're the type who just doesn't want to see them again, then book your accommodation somewhere far and be like, oh, guys, we've like organized like a morning tea sort of thing for you guys. So when you get up, you can eat something before you go.
Yeah. And do you
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like you're being polite, but it's like, but we'll be staying somewhere else. And we've got a different champagne breakfast waiting for us.
Yeah. And I think that's understandable too. Like it's really important anytime you're doing any kind of destination wedding to have some consideration. So it might be around travel.
Yeah.
If it is going to be like, for instance, in Orange and it's at a venue with limited accommodation, organising buses for your guests.
Yeah, transport for them.
Or even offering them those accommodation.
Yeah, I think with like the invites and stuff, a lot of people these days on their wedding invites that are like the digital copies like online, they're including like Airbnbs and hotels and places for people to stay because that's so helpful like for guests who have never been there before, just to know the area sort of where most guests are going to stay as well, because you don't want to be booking something so far out and then realizing, oh, but everyone stayed so close and like we didn't get a spot, and giving that to them up front because then they can book far in advance.
Yeah, and budget for it and stuff as well.
And obviously like with the destination weddings as well, like save the dates need to go out a lot earlier.
Oh, yes. Than how long would you say?
Look, normal invites get sent out about 4 to 5 months out now.
Yep.
Save the dates are like the 9 month mark.
Yep.
But if you've set a date and it's a destination wedding, then definitely 12 months.
Like a big destination.
Yeah.
Like an interstate.
12
or
months. Yep. Because then it gives people time to book flights, accommodation.
Time off work.
Everything. Yeah. And they can't be asking for that like when they get the invite, say 6 months out or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely 12 months out at least. Save the dates.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think we also touched on it in another podcast, but there was also around kids. So how you can kind of facilitate that if you do want kids there or not, and also if they are going to be there, perhaps like hire a nanny.
Yeah. Or like especially with weekend weddings.
Yeah.
Like you can actually have because you're going to be staying at some sort of accommodation, obviously.
Yep.
You can actually have like a nanny keep them occupied for like the after party or the dinner session or something, and they sort of like have these little areas where they go to as well, and there's like a whole thing planned for
and
the
they're
kids.
Having an amazing time, you know?
Yeah,
and
there's
not,
like people taking care
feeling
of them
like they're shackled
and... yeah, because having to go to a rehearsal dinner, the wedding ceremony, it's and then the brunch after, it's all formalities where like you want to sit in, the adults want to sit and have a chat and have a great time.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be watching kids. Like,
yeah.
And a lot of after parties are like, I've seen a lot of people move the after parties to like where there's a pool area or something. And it's like, you don't really want to be worrying about kids in the middle of the night at your after party.
Yeah.
There
needs to be a responsible adult.
Yeah.
And a higher one. Take
that's
the
it.
Off.
That's it. There's people who do that for a living. So, there's a need for it.
Yep.
Definitely.
And same as animal nannies too.
Pet yes.
sitters. But yeah, pet sitters, not just on site, they offer transport as well. And so there's some options around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, if anyone has any questions or any concerns about planning a destination wedding, the first thing I would recommend is getting in touch with a wedding planner for a destination wedding, because planning it yourself, it's more difficult than if you were planning one locally. Yep. So I think investing in a wedding planner to help with that, destination weddings, is a great move to be the first sort of step that you take. Not being like biased, but we
you kind of bring it together.
Like just having a coordinator sometimes isn't enough for a destination wedding. I feel like a wedding planner is needed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. And a celebrant to do the thing.
Yes, the legalities.
If you want of a legal course. Ceremony, or yeah. even if you just wanted, I've been doing a few vow renewals as well. No, that yeah. kind of thing. So yeah. yeah,
actually, a lot of people travel for that.
Yes, they do. Yeah, yeah. yeah. I've got a really nice one coming up. 45 years. The last two they did were in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
And they really want to celebrate. They had some stuff yeah. go on, and you know, health concerns and stuff. Yeah. So they take every opportunity to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah.
I told my husband maybe at 10 years we'll do a vow renewal. Yeah. But that's like next year. And I'm like, I have to start planning up. This.
Yeah.
Because I want like a big party. And he's like, nah, we'll just go away somewhere. I'm just like, yeah, but I don't want it to come and go and we don't do anything.
Just
so,
surprise him.
Yeah.
We'll just plan it.
Mm. I've got an idea for like a surprise. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see if it comes to plan.
Yeah, cool. All right, people. So, yeah.
He listens to this podcast, so I can't say it. That's why.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Because I've got a really good idea, but like my husband listens to this. Sorry, so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anywho.
Yeah. So back to all of you wonderful peeps, other vendors and certainly couples, anyone else who's listening, the weird stories, the wonder. If you've got questions, please let us know. Or, if you just want to do a share.
Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you. And listen to us on any podcast platform that you get your podcast from. We are on YouTube this season. So check us out there as well.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Catch you next time. Bye.